الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our readings in the book of التوحيد by the great scholar Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى we've been reading from the chapter من حقق التوحيد دخل الجنة بغير حساب the one who reads we've been reading from the chapter the one who fulfills the rights of التوحيد, he will enter paradise without any reckoning. He will enter paradise without any reckoning. We have read and seen some of the benefits that ulama they mentioned with regards to this chapter, and we have left al-masail, the issues that the author has mentioned that are related, the benefits from this chapter. So we read them. He says, رحمه الله فيه مسائل في هذا الباب. In this chapter there are مسائل, any issues related to this chapter. Also there are the فوائد, the benefits from this chapter. الأولى, the first one, معرفة مراتب الناس في التوحيد. Understanding and knowing the levels of the people with regards to التوحيد. Who can remember where this one was related to? Where the author he brought this benefit from. مراتب الناس في التوحيد. The people are levels in توحيد. Not everybody is the same level. What are the levels of the people with توحيد? How many levels?
Three.
أحسنت. What are they? Aywa, this in the ayat Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned the yani ahlul istifa, those whom Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala he has chosen. Likewise, there's another way to understand that. The levels of the people in with tawheed. The brother he mentioned the three levels as mentioned in the verse, ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned those three groups from the Ummah of Muhammad who have inherited the book, yani the Quran, the revelation. And from these who have inherited the book, yani from the people of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are three categories. From them there are those who oppress their own souls. They're Muslims and they're upon Islam and they have Tawheed, the fundamentals of Tawheed, but their Tawheed is weak. So they oppress their own souls with sins and they oppress their own souls with taking the rights of others unlawfully. And then there's another, the second group, the category he's mentioning here, they are the ones that have taken a middle course. And the attribute of these people, they are the ones who perform the obligations and that which is incumbent upon them. They perform that to the best of their ability. And they leave off everything that is impermissible. They leave off everything that is impermissible. The third category, they're the ones who Allah mentioned them, وَسَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ, those who hasten to do the good deeds. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the ones, like the second group, they perform that which is obligatory upon them. And they stay away from that which is impermissible entirely. And they increase after that in doing the actions that are also preferred. Striving to do more to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only do they do that which is obligatory upon them, they do likewise that which is not obligatory upon them from the avenues of khair, from the avenues of goodness, from the non-obligatory salat and the non-obligatory fasting and the non-obligatory charity. And even those from the highest of the ranks, they're the ones who have turned even their everyday affairs into acts of worship with that good intention. With that good intention. An-niyya salihah. Likewise, there are those who left off that which is impermissible, but they didn't stop there. They left off things also likewise that are disliked. Some things that are disliked, they left those off also for fear that it may lead them to the haram. So they have a status above. They have a status above. So then we see that the people of the Ummah Muhammad or the people of Tawheed, and this is what we benefit from this chapter. This is a great, great, great benefit. مَعْرِفُتُ مَرَاتِبَ النَّاسِ فِي التَّوْحِيدِ, to know the ranks of the people with regards to Tawheed. So a person, he can strive to have those high ranks, and that he can strive to not be from those low ranks. Because what is the understanding of these three ranks? These three ranks, these are the people of Tawheed. What is known, alhamdulillah, to every Muslim, that the people of Tawheed, they're promised paradise. This has preceded in the last chapter. And the one who has the Tawheed and his statement of Tawheed is correct, then he has the promise of paradise. Then he has the promise of paradise. So what is the difference between these three categories? What is the understanding with this? They all have paradise. They all went to paradise. But also along with understanding these levels, there's something that we have to understand along with any of the fact or the reality of entering paradise.
First category, not safe from the fire.
Aha, Ahsant. The first category, those who oppress their own souls, although they have the promise of paradise, they're not promised to enter along with the first of those who enter. They're not entirely safe from the threat of the hellfire. They're not entirely safe from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're not entirely safe. They have the promise that they will eventually enter paradise, but they don't have the promise to enter the paradise first and foremost without being punished or without being held accountable. So the chapter here is not with regards to them. These people, they have Tawheed, but they didn't fulfill the rights of Tawheed. So they have the fundamentals of Tawheed, but they didn't feel the rights of Tawheed. ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, that he's someone who oppressed his own soul with sins, with his eyes, with his hands, or with his heart, sins with his feet, or in his wealth, or he took the rights of others, or he shed their blood, or he harmed them physically, or he talked ill of them, and he spoke foul of them, taking their honor, and the likes like this, or spreading lies about them, and oppressing them in their wealth, or in their property, or oppressing them in their honor, and with regards to their manhood, and being a man and talking bad about them and the likes like this, or by sinning against Allah Azza wa Jal against one's own self, oppressing his own soul with sins. So this person, he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, but he's not safe from the threat of the fire, because those who enter the paradise, they're the souls that are clean and pure. This one, he has tainted his soul with sins and actions of disobedience. So that's the first level. The second level, the muqtasid. This one, he's promised to enter paradise without any reckoning, and then without any punishment. So then that's very beneficial for a person to know. Because if you ask every Muslim, you say, would you like to go to paradise? What would he say? Of course. Khalas, so those people who go to paradise, we'd like to go to paradise first with the first and foremost without any reckoning? Of course. Okay, these people, they have attributes. These people, they have characteristics. The characteristics of those people who live in this life and they die upon the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they enter paradise without any punishment and without any reckoning, they're the people who hold fast to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're the ones who are performing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla to the best of their ability. Performing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla to the best of their ability. And then likewise, there are those people who stay away from the prohibitions. As for those who do not fulfill the commandments, they fall short in the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's commandments from the time we get up until the time we go to bed. From the morning until the evening, there's commandments directly with regards to worship. And the greatest commandment is to worship Allah alone with no partners. Then there are other commandments likewise, even akramakum Allah, with regards to using the restroom, or with regards to eating the food, or with regards to dealing with the family. There are commandments and the home and the likes like this. So the people who enter paradise, they're the ones who fulfill all of those commandments. They fulfill all of those commandments from the beginning to the end. How they get their money, how they spend their money, even how they wear their clothes. There's commandments with regards to how one cuts his hair. Now there's prohibitions in the haircut. And many, we see in these days, many of the Muslims have been deceived by shaitan and by the dunya and have fallen to this. And they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the hair on their head. Naam. So the point is here, there's prohibitions and there's commandments and prohibitions in all of our life. Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has made a clear legislation. So those who enter the paradise without any punishment, without any reckoning, they are the ones who fulfill those commandments and stay away from those prohibitions. Those who are like them, they also enter the paradise without any punishment or any reckoning, but they have a higher status. They have a higher rank. That they also perform the non-obligatory actions and the actions that are preferred, and also they stay away from those actions that are likewise disliked, and of course staying away from those actions that are doubtful. even the ones who have likewise reached the high ranks, they will also leave off some things that are permissible. They're permissible. It's permissible for them, but they leave them off. They leave them off. And from those attributes of those people in the paradise, or those people in this life that have the high ranks in the paradise, is that they build a barrier. They build a barrier between them and between the haram. They build a barrier between themselves and between the haram. That barrier is made up of permissible things. Before he falls into that which is haram, there's things that are impermissible he doesn't say or do. There's food that's permissible he doesn't eat or take. There's actions that are permissible he doesn't fall into. So that's like a barrier. Before he fell into the haram, he would have to fall into these other actions. He doesn't do them in the first place. He'll stay away from them. He'll stay away from them out of fear of being led to the haram and the likes like this. So this will be from those attributes of those people who have the high ranks in the paradise. They're striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, these people, they've been mentioned, or these categories, they have been mentioned in Hadith Jibreel. Everybody knows Hadith Jibreel. Who can find these people in Hadith Jibreel? These maratib. Marifatu maratib in Nas fit Tawheed. Hadith Jibreel. Naam. Ahsant. Ahsant. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the Hadith Jibreel, the very famous hadith, when Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him about the deen. In the end, after all the questions that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, do you know who that was? And he said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. He says, innahu Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum deenakum. He said, verily, this is Jibreel. He came to teach you your deen. He came to teach you your deen. These questions that he asked, alayhi salatu wa salam, Jibreel, the great angel, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the reality of Islam. Then he asked him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the reality of al-Iman. And then he asked him about the reality of al-Ihsan. So the ulama, they mentioned that, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that he came to teach them the deen. This is the deen. The deen of Allah azza wa jalla is al-Islam, wal-Iman, wal-Ihsan. These are what the ulama, they describe as maratib ad-deen. Maratib ad-deen, the levels of the deen. So those who enter into the fold of Islam, alhamdulillah, they're those who have established that which is incumbent, the basic fundamentals. And the ulama, they mention about these maratib here, the maratib ad-deen, that the fold of Islam is the first level. أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه السبيل. That the people who have fulfilled these requirements, it's a big circle. It's an example, like for example, a big circle. Many people enter into the fold of Islam, alhamdulillah. Many people enter into the fold of Islam, alhamdulillah. Anybody who fulfills these fundamental rights of tawheed and these fundamental beliefs and pillars of Islam and Iman, then he enters into the fold of Islam. If after that time he starts to learn his religion, either faqh fi ad-din, and then he begins to apply that knowledge, then he raises his rank. And by the permission of Allah, his rank will be raised, because now he's in Islam and he's learning Islam. He's learning the rites of Islam. He's learning the meaning of the shahada. He's learning the manners to pray properly. He's learning the commandments and prohibitions. And then he applies that. At this time, his rank is raised. His rank is raised with knowledge and application. And then he will enter into the fold of al-Iman, which is a higher rank. And it's a smaller circle inside the big circle. The ulama, they make the example like this. The big circle of Islam, many people can fit in that big circle. Inside that circle, there's a smaller circle. And that's the circle of Iman. That's the circle of Iman. That's whenever a person, his Islam becomes good. Well, that's a person whenever his Islam becomes good. He starts to learn Islam with proofs and evidences, and he applies it in his life. He's not just a Muslim doing whatever he likes, still following his desires, following his whims. Even maybe some Muslims, they learn that it's haram, but they don't follow it. So either they don't know and they're ignorant and they remain upon that way and they suffice with ignorance and the little knowledge that they know, staying in Islam but still being in misguidance with regards to their actions and their deeds. Maybe even some of their worship is not correct, but they're Muslims, alhamdulillah. This one, in that fold right there, the big fold, many of them, what are they? Zalimun li nafsi. This is the zalim in nafsi. He has the basic level of Islam, but he didn't complete his Islam. He didn't perfect it. He didn't strive against his soul to make his Islam good and clean. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, khayrukum fil jahiliya, khayrukum fil islami, khayrukum fil islami, khayrukum fil jahiliya. Idha faquhu. That the best of you in the days of ignorance are the best of you in Islam, or the best of you in the days of ignorance if they gain an understanding. And idha faquhu, if they gain an understanding in the deen. And some people, they accept Islam, they don't gain an understanding. They don't gain an understanding. Meaning the people who had nobility before Islam, the people who had status and rank and they had honor before Islam, and they were upright before Islam, whenever they enter Islam, they will be the best of the people of Islam if they have understanding, if they gain understanding. To be a Muslim, alhamdulillah, he has the promise of the paradise, but the Muslim, he would not satisfy with ignorance. And he would strive to make his Islam good. He would strive to make his Islam good. That's because, barakallahu fikum, after fulfilling the pillars of Islam, there are other obligations. Al-Islam is not only the pillars of Islam. Islam is more than shahada, la ilaha illallah. It's more than salah, it's more than zakat. It's more than fasting the month of Ramadan, and it's more than hajj. These are the pillars. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made these, the example of Islam as the example of a building, and he mentioned that it has pillars. Buniya, al-Islamu ala khams, the hadith that we all know. Buniya, al-Islam is built and based upon five. And he mentioned the pillars of Islam. If we think about the structure here, for example, this masjid, may Allah bless this masjid and increase it in good. But we see that whenever it's built, for example, it's built upon pillars. So there's a foundation, and then there's pillars. But did they stop there? No. After that, what do? They decorate the pillar. Like, for example, there's a pillar right there. That's a pillar. Behind those, what we can see right there, there's iron, steel, sturdy and strong. The pillars, they're strong. The pillars are deeply rooted. The pillars go into the ground and they're stable and they're strong. But the pillar itself, whenever you look at it, maybe it's not like attractive. It's not beautiful. It's strong. It's sturdy. And establishing, holding up the structure, but they don't leave it like that, just a plain pillar. Rather, after when they fix the structure, they put bricks around the pillar, and they decorate the pillar, and the lights like this. Similar like that, Islam, it has the pillars that the deen is established by way of, the fundamentals of the deen, these pillars. But after that, there are other obligations that complete the Islam, that complete the deen. There are other obligations. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Muslim, Man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. That the true Muslim, yani the complete Muslim, the Muslim who has the good Islam, he is the one that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. It's understood from this that that's an obligation. Just like Salat is an obligation, and the one who did not perform it, or he fell short in performing it, he is falling short in those obligations, and he's committing a sin, disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, guarding the tongue and making sure the Muslims are safe from his tongue, that's an obligation. That's an obligation. Just like giving the charity for those who have wealth, giving the zakat is an obligation. Likewise, making sure the Muslims are safe from your hand is an obligation. It's an obligation. It's not a deed that is considered non-obligatory. Right? That's an obligation. So there are other obligations in Islam that whenever a person fulfills it, his Islam becomes complete. His Islam becomes complete. Without fulfilling these other obligations, his Islam is not complete. So those people who enter into the fold of Islam, but they do not fully learn the obligations of Islam, the rights of Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to his commandments and with regards to the commandments and prohibitions, then his Islam is not complete. His Islam is not strong. He has deficiency in Islam, in his Islam. This Islam here, that's the Islam of the one who oppresses his own soul. That Islam right there, that's not the Islam that is strong enough to save somebody from the punishment of the fire. And entirely. Alhamdulillah, by the virtue of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it has the person who is a Muslim and he has Islam, he's safe from abiding in the fire for eternity. He's safe from abiding in the fire for eternity, but he's not safe from going there. He's not safe from being punished there. He's not safe from being purified and cleansed there. So then this first level of Islam, or this first level of those Muslims who oppress their own souls, and this is because of ignorance or because of a lack of desire and a lack of determination to apply the knowledge. Either they don't have the knowledge or they have a lack of desire to apply the knowledge. But in any case, the Islam, it has to become good. The Islam, it has to become good. A good a person, he has to learn the obligations of Islam. He has to learn the foundations of Islam. He has to learn the fundamentals of Islam. In that time, whenever he does that and he applies that knowledge, then he becomes from the mu'mineen. From the mu'mineen, those people who have iman that's deep in their heart. Their Islam and their iman is deep in their heart, and it produces fruits on their hands and fruits in their eyes and fruits in their speech. And at this time, they perform that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla from the commandments, and they stay away from the prohibitions. And these people, they have the smaller circle from al-Iman, they're the ones who fulfill that which is incumbent upon them, the obligations, and they stay away from that which is impermissible. And they stay away from that which is impermissible. So they will be considered the muqtasidun. The muqtasidun, those who have taken the middle course. Those who have taken a middle course. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He also mentions about these people by another name in the Quran, by another name in the Book of Allah, the people of Iman, the people of the second status, the second rank. Rewind. Inna al-abrar lafi na'im. Al-abrar. Al-abrar, the righteous. Al-abrar, the righteous. The righteous and the pious. Al-Abrar. This is the example of those people with Iman. So then we see that every mu'min, he is a Muslim, and not every Muslim is a mu'min. And we can say that for al-mu'min, it means believer. We say, I'm a believer, yani meaning a believer in Islam, but as for that stage and that status, a person, he will not call himself a believer like that. Yani the one, like the believer, the mu'minun, that Allah meant, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that's the ones that have this rank. That's the ones that have this rank. Every Muslim is a believer in general. But as for having that high rank and status above Islam, then not every Muslim is a believer from that aspect. Not every Muslim has strong iman, sound iman, solid and good iman. Naam, this is the case. Above that rank, there's another rank, the third rank. And they are? That is al-ihsan. The al-ihsan, to worship Allah as if you see Him, and if you do not see Him, then know that He sees you. And to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called maraqabah. To be aware of Allah Azza wa Jalla whenever you're alone, or whenever you're in public, whenever you're in private, whenever the lights are off, whenever the lights are on, whenever you're in the car, whenever you're in the street, they have maraqabah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often. They remember His commandments, and they remember His prohibitions. They remember the obligations, and they remember that which is impermissible, and they strive to abide by that. And they remember Allah Azza wa Jalla and His promise, and they hope for that, and they strive and they do more. They strive to do more. And whenever they fulfill or they're performing those actions, they perform them in the best manner, not in a state of heedlessness. Not in a state of heedlessness. So they remember Allah Azza wa Jal, and they worship Allah Azza wa Jal with a heart that is alive, and with a heart that is awake, with a heart that is aware. And the heart that is alive, it is described as, it's described with the attribute of hope. And the heart that is alive, it is described with the attribute of love. And the heart that is alive is described with the attribute of fear. So that's the heart that's worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. The one that, why is he praying? Because he loves Allah. All of the good that he gave him, he loves Allah Azza wa Jalla for this. All of the good that Allah, that he has, is from his Lord, from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he loves his Creator. So he worships him. How does he worship him? With fear and with hope. Hoping for the reward, fearing the rejection. This is the heart that's alive. This is from those descriptions of the Muhsinun. Again, it's very important for a believer to learn the attributes of people, the attributes of the good people, the attributes of the bad people. The author, he's indicating this here in this chapter that we've been reading from. And that he mentioned, whenever he mentioned those who fulfill the rites of Tawheed went to paradise without any reckoning. He didn't mention all these attributes one by one. Rather, he mentioned verses that have Ibrahim in alayhi salam, and mentioned some of his attributes. So then we look into the attributes of the people. Doesn't say that if you do that. Doesn't say if you obey, if you fulfill the commandments, if you stay within prohibitions. This is all derived from understanding these attributes. Whenever we see the attributes of the people, it'll be clear. The attributes of the righteous and pious. That way, we can strive to obtain them. And the attributes of the wicked and the evil. That way, we can strive to stay away from them. The attributes of the hypocrites. That way, we can stay away from them and be aware of them, and be warned from them, and the likes like this. So, knowing these attributes is very, very beneficial. The attributes of the people of Al-Ihsan, and that's a smaller circle. So not as many people make it to that status. So there's the great circle of Islam, and then from them are those who oppress their own souls. If the Islam becomes good, they enter into the state of Al-Iman, higher status, higher rank in this life and higher rank in the hereafter. Higher rank with Allah Azza wa Jalla, closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allahu yuhibbu al-mu'min al-qawi. Allah al-mu'min al-qawi ahabbu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. That the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah. More beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Both of them have khayr. Both of them are good. Even those who oppress their own soul, he's a believer, alhamdulillah, he's a Muslim. He has khayr with him. He's good. He's from our brothers, from the people of Islam. But he is not safe from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's not safe from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Above the mu'min is the person of ihsan, the one who is striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with al-maraqabah, with being aware and observing him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those highest levels of al-ihsan is the one who has turned his daily affairs into the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and turned his daily affairs, even his eating is for the sake of Allah, even his drinking is for the sake of Allah, whenever he meets his brothers for the sake of Allah, the relation with his family is for the sake of Allah, the food he puts in his wife, the mouth of his wife for the sake of Allah, the food that he feeds his children for the sake of Allah, he has a good intention and he follows the legislation and he's aware of those commandments and prohibitions and the actions that are pleasing to Allah. And then by way of this and this good intention, he is able to make his whole life for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. For example, eating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands in the Quran that you have to eat. Who knows the verse? The imam, he just read one of the verses. That's one verse that na'am, kulu washrabu. Kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salih. Also the verse that the imam he read this morning. Kulu wakulu min rizqihi. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ وَكُولُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And eat from his sustenance. What is the beginning of the verse? No, in Surah Al-Tabarak. At the top of the page. In any case, Allah, he says, وَكُولُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. No? وَكُولُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. It's a command. And eat from his provision. Eat from his provision. And to him is the return. So a person, he says, okay, I'm going to eat from that which is permissible, and I'm going to eat because Allah commanded me to eat. Fulfilling a commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is a commandment to eat from his provision, and in the provision that is permissible. So with his good intention to eat, with fulfilling that commandment, and to eat with the intention of being strong and being healthy, so he can continue to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, to eat with the right hand, to say Bismillah, to that was near from him, and to eat from the edge of the plate, following the sunnah and all that he has gathered between al-ikhlas and mutaba'ah, and this action that is permissible, it's originally not an act of worship. This is from those traits of the muhsineen, those who have a high status and high rank. There's another name for them in the Quran. Ulaika al-muqarrabun. This is all the people of the highest rank, the muqarrabun, that they have done everything they can to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. They have done everything that they can to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's another name for them. So far we have the people who oppress their own souls, they're the Muslims at the base level. Then we have the people of Iman, and they are those who have taken a middle course. They're also known as al-Ibrar in the Quran. Allah mentions them by different names. So now whenever we read the Quran, we see Ibrar, we know their trait. Oh, these are the ones who fulfill the commandment to stay away from the prohibitions. These are the traits, because Allah will mention in them. For example, in Surah Al-Insan, this verse, Allah is mentioning all these verses about the Abrar, from the traits of the Abrar, the promise of the Abrar, and from the reward of the Abrar. And so imagine what the people of the Muqarrabun have. Then if we, for example, we read in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah, he mentions the promise that those people in the, of Ihsan, what do they have? And the people under them, what do they have? And in this chapter, what did Allah call them? Had the Abrar, he mentioned the Abrar in this chapter, and he mentioned the Muqarrabun, or he mentioned the Mu'minun and the Muhsinun, or he mentioned the Muqtasidun and the Sabiqun bil Khairat. They are called the second level. Allah mentioned them as Ashab al Yameen. Wa ma Ashab al Yameen. Before that, if he mentioned Sabiqun, Naam, Sabiqun, those who hasten to do good, to do the good deeds. Naam, this is from those names of these people in this category. So here we see the first benefit the author, he mentioned. He says the first benefit from studying this chapter and learning about these verses and learning about the reality of the one who fulfills the rites of Tawheed, he enters paradise without any reckoning, then and from the benefit of that, ma'rifatu maratib bin nas fi Tawheed, to know the levels of the people with regards to Tawheed. The people of Tawheed are not all one level. Nam. So the ones who fulfill the rites of Tawheed, they're the ones who enter paradise without any reckoning. As for the one who did not fulfill the rites of Tawheed, then he does not have that promise. He doesn't have that promise. Although if Allah wills, He could forgive him. If Allah, he will be under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will forgive him. If Allah wills, He will punish him. He will be under the will of Allah. But he has the threat of being entered into the fire. He has the threat of meeting Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he's angry with him. Nobody wants to have that threat. Nobody, if he thinks about how weak he is and his outcome, you don't want to live under the threat like this. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Don't be like those nations who have preceded. Oh, the fire will only touch us a number of days. But rather just strive to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. The one who has a good intention and he makes effort, then Allah makes the way easy for him. Allah makes the way easy for him. He says here the second benefit, ma ma'na tahqiqihi, the meaning of fulfilling the rites of Tawheed. We took that to, what does that mean? The author is basically summarizing everything that we have, the benefits that we have taken now. It's being summarized here. And what is the meaning of fulfilling the rites of Tawheed? Aywa, Ahsan. To free. What does it mean to fulfill the rites of Tawheed? The rites of Tawheed. To fulfill them, to free the Tawheed entirety and to cleanse it and purify it from shirk. Both types. Both types. Major shirk and minor shirk. Meaning that the heart is attached to Allah. The heart is attached to Allah, not to the people. It's not looking at the people. It's not the heart is not turning to the people when it's time for worship. The heart is not turning for the people in times of difficulty. The heart is not turning to the people in times of pleasure. Whenever there's good things happening, alhamdulillah, he thanks Allah first and foremost. He realizes from Allah Azza wa Jalla, the heart's attached to Allah. When there's calamity, he returns to Allah. And it knows that it's the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it doesn't do anything that would be displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's patient. And then whenever it's worshiping for Allah, not for anybody else, not for the dunya, not for the praise, not for the wealth, not for the lights of this dunya, the glitter of this dunya. Rather, there's no shirk. His heart, his tawheed, his iman, his Islam is purified and cleansed and is free from shirk. Both types. And then likewise from innovation. It's free from innovation. Because the one who worships Allah Azza wa Jalla with innovation, he did not fulfill the rites of Tawheed. From the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he is worshipped in a manner pleasing to him. And a manner legislated by him. And that's why from the coupled shahada along with the shahada of Tawheed, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Because that Tawheed cannot be fulfilled properly except by the way of the messengers. Except by following the messengers. And the last messenger is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then the Tawheed, the rites of Tawheed are not fulfilled entirely and properly and correctly until one worships Allah according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he has to be free from shirk. He has to be free from shirk and free from innovation. Free from it. What does it mean to be free from something? So over there, I'm over here. Stay away from me, I stay away from you. Don't come near me, I don't come near you. Shirk is over there, you keep it over there. Bid'ah like this, that's what it means. He's freeing. He's not only leaving it, but he freed himself from it. So he left it, he freed it. If it comes, he goes the other way. If it's around, he doesn't like it. And this is the case. He's free from shirk. He's free from bid'ah, from innovation, and from the people of shirk, and from the people of innovation. Naam, likewise from sins. Because the sins, they depreciate, they lessen the reward of Tawheed. Tawheed has a great, great, great reward. Tawheed has a great weight with Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's heavy in the scales, as we have seen in the previous chapter. But that's for the one who fulfilled the rites of Tawheed. As for the one who depreciated the value of his Tawheed, and he weakened his iman with sins lesser than that major shirk, then maybe his Tawheed will come and it'll be light like a piece of paper on the day of resurrection. Maybe it'll come and he'll put it in the scales and it won't have the weight to remove the foul statements that he had and the harm that he had done to the servants of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to the sins that he had committed. Naam. So this is the case. So a believer, he will not be living in this life upon whims and hopes, any false hopes. Rather, he will have hope in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that hope will be true. So it will carry him to work. It will carry him to work and to strive, to do the best that he can and seek forgiveness for his shortcomings. الثالثة, the author, he mentioned ثناؤه سبحانه على إبراهيم بكونه لم يكن من المشركين. And the third benefit here we see, where the issue is that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he praised Ibrahim for the fact that he was not from the polytheist. And he's praising Ibrahim alayhi salam for not being from the polytheist. So whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla, he praises somebody in the book, this is an indication that we should follow them. Nam Ibrahim is uswa hasana, just like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, uswatun hasana. He's a good role model and example. So one of those things that Allah praised him for, that he should be followed in, is that he was not from the polytheist. He is not from the mushrikeen. Not from those who made major shirk and not from those who made minor shirk. Lam yakun min al-mushrikeen. He's far away from shirk. He's far away from shirk. Naam. He says, الرابعه ثناؤه على سادات الأولياء بسلامتهم من الشرك. Likewise, we see in this the next verse after that, the author, he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's praising also. In the first verse, the author mentioned he praised Ibrahim for being safe from shirk. And then he mentioned the next verse about and mentioning some of the attributes of the righteous and pious. And from those attributes is that they're likewise free from shirk. That they're likewise free from shirk, and Allah praised them for that. So then this is from those examples that we have to take as a role model. Those are those attributes that are praiseworthy, that a person will strive to be upon, be like them and that, take them as a role model on that and be free from shirk. The author, he mentioned, الخامسة كون تركي الرقية والكي من تحقيق التوحيد. Also we see the fifth issue is that leaving ruqya and kay. Here the meaning of leaving in ruqya, meaning leaving istirqa, leaving off asking for ruqya. And the kay is from fulfilling the rites of tawheed. We've seen that from the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that leaving off the not asking for a ruqya, not asking for others to perform ruqya on yourself, and rather doing it to yourself, or accepting if somebody did it for you without you asking, that's permissible. As for asking for it, then this is invalidating some of the rights of tawheed. The full right of tawheed is to not ask for a ruqya. It's to not ask anybody else to give you ruqya. This is from the rights of tawheed. Likewise, the kay. To ask them for kay, even some the ulama mentioned to not even use the kay, except in a dire necessity. This is from fulfilling the rights of tawheed. Why? Asking for somebody to give ruqya to like for a simple person, ask for him somebody else to give him ruqya, or he asks for somebody else to give him kay. This is from fulfilling the rights of tawheed. How is that? You don't ask. You don't go to somebody else. You don't go to somebody else. The heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jalla. A lot of the times, whenever a person asked for somebody else to give them ruqya, their heart become attached to them. Even if Allah allows their ruqya to benefit, to bring benefit at their hand, they'll think that there's something, that person, he has something, and he's righteous, or you know, he's has a special quality. The heart become attached also to that person. So from the complete reliance and the complete fulfillment of the rights of tawheed is to rely entirely on Allah alone. Is to rely entirely on Allah alone. To give oneself ruqya, this is the best. To give oneself ruqya, this is the best. If a person needs ruqya, he gives it to himself. If somebody knows that his brother needs ruqya, he give it to him. He doesn't wait for him to ask. If he knows that his brother or his family or his children, they need ruqya, then he'll give it to them. They don't have to ask. This is good, this is beneficial, and this does not enter into the topic here. Now, to give somebody ruqya, or for somebody to give you ruqya, without asking, this is permissible, and this is not falling short in the rights of tawheed, but rather this is good. إِذَا اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَنْفَعَ أَخَاكَ فَانْفَعُهُ وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. If you can benefit your brother, then benefit him. I mean, if you know that you can benefit him, then benefit him. So this is the case. Likewise, he says, السَّادِسَةَ كَوْنُ الْجَامِعِ لِتِلْكَ الْخِصَالِ هُوَ التَّوَكُّلِ. He said, and that which is bringing all of these traits together is reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. So from the greatest traits of those people, from those greatest attributes of those people who fulfilled the rights of tawheed, is that they have a strong relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. They have a strong relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and their heart is attached to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala with reliance. And their heart is relying and depending on Allah Azza wa Jalla for their needs and for their affairs and for all of their issues, for removing harm from them and for bringing benefit to them, for aiding them and supporting them. Their heart is always relying on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala strongly, with reliance and trust. with hope. This is from those great traits of them at Tawakkul. And this is what the one who left off asking for Rukya, he has strong Tawakkul. The one who didn't use the K, he has strong Tawakkul. The one who didn't make the Tatayur, yani this having evil omens and like this is from his strong belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla and his reliance upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. At-tawakkul is an amazing act of worship. Allah mentioned about at-tawakkul in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ بِعَنِ يَكْفِيهِ. There's no, the ulama, they mentioned there's no worship, act of worship that Allah mentioned this, that whoever does it, then Allah will suffice him. Allah will suffice, whoever puts his reliance upon Allah entirely, the proper reliance, not the false reliance where he closes his eyes and walk across the street, I trust Allah. Like that, that's not reliance. The true reliance, reliance in tawakkul is to have the hope, trusting and relying upon Allah Azza wa Jalla and taking the means that are legislated. At the same time. That's the true reliance. This is the one who performs that. فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla will suffice him. السابية عمق علم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم لمعرفتهم أنهم لم ينالوا ذلك إلا بعمل. He says here, rahimahullah, the seventh mas'ala is the deepness of the knowledge of the companions, and their knowledge is deep. How did he understand this? Because they knew that they would not ever be able to obtain that status, and the status of those who enter the paradise without any reckoning, except by action. Because whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned there are 70,000 going to enter paradise with no reckoning and with no punishment. And then he went inside the house, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did they start doing? Well, maybe they're the ones who did this, or maybe they're the ones who did that, or maybe they're the ones who did this, right? So they're mentioning that maybe they're the ones who were born in Islam. They never made shirk. Maybe they're the ones who accompanied the Prophet and aided him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like this. So they knew that there was the means for them to be from those people. They have to apply. They have to have action. So this is a great understanding, the deep understanding that they have, that it's not going to happen from false hopes. Rather, there must be actions. Naam al-thamina, the author, he mentioned, حِرْسُهُمْ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ, that they are diligent to be good. They're diligent upon goodness. Where does that derive from? From the chapter. From the same narration, the last narration. The companions, they're diligent upon goodness.
Applying
the application. The application, because they want to know. So whenever the Prophet ﷺ asked them about that, they start going. After that, he went aside, they start talking amongst each other, making mudhakara, studying together. Maybe they're this one, maybe it's that one. Then whenever the Prophet, who are they? They told the Prophet, well, we're talking about, what you mentioned. Then the Prophet ﷺ told them. Then the Prophet ﷺ told them. So they're diligent about the khayr. They're diligent about goodness, trying to learn the avenues of goodness. And tasya, fadilatu hadhihi al-ummah bil kamiyyah wal kayfiyyah. The ninth benefit he mentioned here is the virtue, to know the virtue of this ummah and how great it is. And how great it is in abundance, and likewise how great it is in its rank and status. Naam. And that comes from the Prophet ﷺ. He's seen Musa and his ummah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in a great multitude. Then he's seen the Prophet ﷺ, his ummah. So, and it was a greater multitude. From them, 70,000 that enter without any paradise. Enter paradise without any reckoning. And in another narration, for every 70,000, for every 1,000, 70,000. And in another narration, from every one, 70,000. So that means that there are a great multitude, and then some of them entering without any reckoning. The utmost honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him from His grace. So then he says here, likewise, al-ashira fadilatu ashabi Musa, the virtue of the companion of the followers of Musa alayhi salam. That was clear. Al-hadi ashira aradu al-umami alayhi, and the 11th benefit is the fact that the nations were presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That this is something that he's seen. Al-thani ashira, the 12th mas'ala, anna kulla ummatin tuhsharu wahdaha ma'a nabiyha, that every ummah will be gathered alone with its prophet. And they will be resurrected and gathered alone with his prophet. Because Musa and his people came like this. The Prophet ﷺ and his people came like this. There was a prophet, he came and there's only one or two followers. There's a prophet who came, there's only up to 9, 10 followers. There's a prophet who came, there's no followers. Even Fir'aun, he's going to be resurrected with his followers. Na'udhu billah. Na'udhu billah. Now the people, they're going to be resurrected with their imams. And we ask that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ be our imam. Now be our imam. What about somebody who's resurrected, he took his imam in this life, as Jay-Z, for example. People doing that. A'udhu billah, he's going to be resurrected with these people. Or even worse than him, some other people, some of these businessmen, or some people, they're politicians. Muslims engulfed in this. And their Islam is not good. They have Islam, but it's not good. A'udhu billah, to be resurrected with these people. To be resurrected with these people. To die upon disbelief. A'udhu billah. He says here, الثالثة عشرة قلة من استجاب للأنبياء. And the 13th benefit is the few people who have responded to the call of the prophets. And it was few of them. The majority of the people did not respond. So a believer, he will understand this, and he will not be deluded by the majority. الرابعة عشرة أن من لم يجبه أحد يأتي وحده. In the 14th mas'ala, he said that the one who no one responded to his call, the prophet that no one responded to his call, then he will come alone by himself. And he will be the ummah. He will be the ummah of his time. الخامسة عشرة ثمرة هذا العلم وهو عدم الاغترار بالكثرة وعدم الزهد في القلة. He said here the 15th benefit, a great benefit, is the virtue of this knowledge. Or the fruit, you know, the fruit or the result of this knowledge. What do we benefit from this knowledge? That a person, he will not be deceived by the majority. He will not see the majority of the people doing this and say, oh yeah, they must be upon the right way. And likewise, he will not turn away from the few. Turn away from the few or feel like he's lonesome and the likes like this. Rather, he will know that rather the few, they are those who are saved. The few, they are the ones that are on the straight path. That's why the Prophet ﷺ described those few with a special trait. Since there are few, they have a trait, they stand out from the others. The few that are obedient, the few that have the proper creed, the few that have the proper belief, the few that have the proper methodology and manhaj, the few that are striving against their souls to be obedient, Allah, the Messenger of Allah described them as being? Ghuraba, ahsant, Allahumma barak, strangers. This creed that they have, this methodology that they follow, staying on the straight path diligently, this caused them to be strange, because they're few. Now, so how about even in the land, whenever a strange land, even here, so we'll even be stranger, even here. And if that's the case amongst the Muslims, they'll even be strange. So in the lands of disbelief, even stranger. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about those strangers? Glad tidings. Tuba, the ghuraba. So a person who will say, Alhamdulillah, if he's strange, he finds strangers in his family, he's strange in his work, in his job, amongst in the street, in Walmart, he feels strange. Alhamdulillah. Glad tidings. Now, السادسة عشرة, the 16th مسألة, الرخصة في الرقية من العين والحمى. The permissibility, or the license for the ruqya and with regard to the ayn and the huma, the sting, the stings or the bites from animals that sting with poison. And it's permissible for this, whether it's from the most beneficial. The most beneficial ruqya is the one that is done for somebody who has been afflicted by the ayn, the evil eye, or touched by the jinn. Likewise, the ayn of the jinn. Or likewise, the ruqya that's very beneficial from the stings and the bites of insects and animals that sting, from the insects, likewise from scorpions and snakes, the animals that have venom and they have poison, the ruqya is from the best means of cure. السابعة عشرة, the 17th مسألة, عمق علم السلف لقوله قد أحسن من انتهى إلى ما سمع ولكن كذا وكذا فعلم أن الحديث الأول لا يخالف الثاني. He said here that the deep knowledge of the Salaf, and that he said that verily the one who stops at what he had heard, meaning he applies the knowledge that he has, but also it's been narrated this and this, it's known from this from the first hadith that it's not contrary to the second. And he mentioned that whenever Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he heard the narration that was mentioned from Sha'bi, but then he mentioned that Nam, that's correct, but better than that. And then he mentioned the next narration. So they understand that there's no conflict between the two, but rather there's a proper understanding of this, and that is that you shouldn't seek for that. Although that ruqya is beneficial, and although especially for the ayn and for the huma, but rather a person, he should do that to himself, and he should not seek out that from others. الثامنة عشرة بعد السلف عن مدح الإنسان بما ليس فيه. And the Salaf, they're far away from wanting to be praised for something that he does not have or something that he did not do. Where is that derived from? From the beginning of the narration of Hussein, he said, "Ayyukum ra'a al-kawkab alladhi qadda al-bariha?" Sa'id, he asked, rahimahullah, "Which one of you saw the shooting star that fell last night?" So Hussein, he said, "Ana, I did." He said, "But I was not standing, I was not in prayer last night. But I was not in prayer last night, but rather I was bit. Ludiktu. Naam, I was bit." And he said that, so he said, because with regards to these people in this time, the one who is up at night, at the late night, then he's generally praying. He's praying, but he said he was not up praying, he was up at that time, that's why he saw the star, because he was bit. So whenever he was asked, who saw the star falling last night, the shooting star? Generally the only one who would be up at that time that would be able to see it is somebody who was up because of prayer. So whenever he said, I saw it, meaning I was up at that time, that's what it means. I saw the star falling, meaning I was up at that time. So then at that time he thinks, well, I don't want him to think that I'm saying that, so he'll think that I'm praying. So he freed himself from that, so that he would free himself from showing off. Free himself from showing off. Tasya Ashrata, the 19th. Mas'ala qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anta minhum. Alamu min alam al-nubuwa. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Ukash ibn Mihsan, verily you are from them. He asked him to make dua for him to be from those who enter paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are from them. And this is a sign from the signs of his prophethood, the truthfulness of his prophethood. And this is because Rukashi, he died in the battle with Abu Bakr. And whenever Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he sent the people to fight those who left Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He died in these battles radiallahu anhu. Al-Ishrun, Fadilatu Ukasha. And the 20th Mas'ala is showing us here the virtue of Ukasha ibn Mihsan, that he's from those who enter paradise. The great virtue. We know if somebody wanted to ask who is one of those people, Ukasha ibn Mihsan. He enters paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment by the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has informed us. Al-Hadiyatu wal-Ishrun, the 21st Mas'ala, Isti'mal al-Ma'arid. Isti'malu al-Ma'arid. Al-Ma'arid is whenever somebody says something to a person in a manner that he would delude him or make him think that he means something else, but he's not lying. But he's not lying. He's not lying. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he would use these ma'arid, like here. Whenever the person after that asked, well, ask Allah to make me from them. So the Prophet sometimes, Ukasha preceded you. He didn't tell him, no, you're not from them. He didn't tell him, no, I'm not going to ask for you. I'm not going to make dua for you. Rather, he told him, he closed the door. Rather, Ukasha has preceded you in that. Ukasha has preceded you in that, radiallahu anhu. Like for example also, the scholars, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made ma'arid whenever he's traveling, making hijrah. It's been mentioned that there's a tribe called Ma'. There's a tribe called Ma'. And whenever some people stopped him, they asked the Prophet ﷺ where he's from. He said, "Nahnu min Ma." We are from Ma. The listener thinks he's talking about the tribe of Ma, but the Prophet ﷺ, his intention is that we are created from Ma. We are created from Ma. We're created from water. Allah created everything from water. So he said, "Nahnu min Ma." We're from Ma. In that area, there's a tribe called Ma. They thinking that. So those people who are listening, thinking that he's talking about Ma, the tribe. But really he intended himself that he's created from water. So this is called ma'arid. This is permissible when it's needed. This is permissible when it's needed. It's not something that a person should do all the time, deceiving people like this with his speech and taking this as a habit. Rather, if it's needed and there's a benefit from that, that the believer finds himself in a situation, he can use that. For example, in the time of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, in the mihna, whenever they're asking about the creation of the Quran, some of the ulama, some of them took the rukhsah, and they would say it. And because it's permissible, because their life is threatened. Others, they were killed because of that. But some of them, they would say, they're being forced to say the Quran was created. Na'udhu billah. If they didn't say it, they would kill them, or they would punish them, or they would torture them. So some of them, they would say it, and they had the permissibility to say it. But because of being coerced and forced. But others, they would say, Al-Injil, wal-Quran, wal-Tawrah, وصحف إبراهيم like this. They said هذه مخلوقة. These are all created. And he's talking about his fingers. He'll count on his fingers like this. The Suhuf of Ibrahim said, the Zabur of Dawood, the Injil, and the Torah, and the Quran, all of these are created. But his point, he's intending in his heart, his fingers. He's intending in his heart, all of these are created. He's counting on his finger like the one, Suhuf Ibrahim. And then he's saying the next one after that, Zabur of Dawood. And then he will say on his other finger, like this, Torah, then Al-Injil, what Quran. Then he'll say, these all are created, like this. These are all created. And in his heart, he's intending his fingers. Their fingers are all created. So this is called ma'arid. This is called ma'arid. So this is, using these is from the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but somebody wouldn't use them all the time and become a person like this, deceiving the people, tricking the people all the time. But rather in a time of necessity, when a believer finds himself in need of this, it's permissible for him to use them with wisdom. The 22nd and the last benefit, حُسْنُ خُلُقِهِ, the good manners of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where's that derived from? The good manners of the Prophet, from this chapter here. It's also from the last hadith. Sahih. That's definitely an example of the good manners of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The author here, he's deriving from the text though, from the text of the book. And inside the text he mentioned the good manners of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He derived it from Sabaqaka biha Ukasha. And Ukasha preceded you from this. That's definite example. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he would, Anas ibn Malik, he mentioned that the Prophet would command him to do things. And he said, sometimes I didn't always do what I was supposed to do. But the Prophet ﷺ, he never told me, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Or why did you do that? He didn't say it to him like this. And he would direct him in another way. Shouldn't you go do what I told you? Or is it not time for you to take care of the business I asked you? But he wouldn't say, why didn't you do this? Or why did you do that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, but here in the text, the author is referring to the statement of Sabaqaka biha Ukasha. And the person, he said, Ukasha, he stood up, make dua for me, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I'll be from those 70,000. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you're from them. Another man stood up, he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make dua for me to be from them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't say, no, you're not from them. He didn't say that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, on the other hand, he didn't say, no, I'm not going to make dua for you. He didn't refuse, and you know, both of those, you know, it's kind of a harsh manner, or it would let him down, make him feel bad. Oh, you're not going to make dua for me. If he said that to him directly, or if he told him on the other hand, you're not from them, like that. That's not good manners. Even that's not a good way to address the people. Whether the Prophet, he had good manners and avoided all of that by saying, "This man preceded you. This man preceded you in that." And instead of saying, no, you're not from them, or no, I won't make dua for you, and he just closed the door like this with good manners and said, no, actually, سَبَقَكَ بِكُمْ أَوْكَاشَ هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ